This is News in Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. On today's roundtable, a showdown at the ranch, and do female pedophiles get a break? Joining us from our New York bureau, E.R. Shipp, a columnist at the New York Daily News, and Bob Meadows, a writer for People magazine. Also with us, Nat Irvin, professor of future studies at Wake Forest University. He joins us from member station WFDD in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Folks, we want to first take a look at a woman who's receiving a lot of attention. Her name is Cindy Sheehan. Ms. Sheehan is outside of the ranch where the president is vacationing. We have seen her over the course of the last couple of days on all of the newscasts, and she is protesting. She says she wants a meeting with the president to talk about the war effort. Her son killed in Iraq, and the president has refused to this point to meet with her. While he spoke yesterday and saying that he understood the angst and concern that people had with this war, he has not seen fit to meet with her and a growing number of protesters who are now gathering outside of the ranch. Bob Meadows, when you see this and hear this, what's your thought?
You know, I know that the president did actually meet with her shortly after her son was killed. He met with her and a group of parents. But, of course, now she would like to meet with him one-on-one. He did send two high aides, I've forgotten who they were, to meet with her. I believe it was Sunday. But I think this marks something for the president. He now has a, unfortunately for him, he now has a face of somebody who opposes the war, a gentle face, a mom who's lost her son. And I don't think that can help his cause.
And we should note that the meeting took place in June of 2004, but she said that she wants another meeting based on the fact that this meeting was prior to the idea that most Americans believe we had faulty pre-war intelligence, and that obviously the basis of why we went to war.
I think there's nothing for the president to gain from a meeting at this time. He has, I'm not defending the decision to go to war, and I'm not defending the way the administration has conducted the war. But there's nothing to be gained by giving in to this kind of protest. He has spoken out about what the goals are for bringing democracy to Iraq and when the troops would be brought home. So I think, knowing the way this president operates, remember, he hasn't met with the NAACP since he's been in office. He takes a stand, and he's stubborn, so he's not going to meet with her.
Well, that's I agree with you, E.R. He's not. There's nothing to be gained by it, but I think I read Cindy Sheehan's piece. She called it, "This is George Bush's accountability moment," and I think she pretty much summed it up by saying, "And the president actually is in a position that reflects where the country is in Iraq. We have no very good options. He certainly cannot meet with every widow who has suffered the ultimate loss in this horrible war." But I think it reflects the reality that now most Americans are starting to put a face on the war. I think at this point, the disapproval of the policies in Iraq has reached 61%. It turns out that there was never any more than 40% at any point who thought that this might have been a good idea. So now we find out that, you know, the premise on which the war was originally fought was wrong. If you ask Americans now, I don't know if we're going to have some real clear consensus as to why we actually are there now. The idea of trying to bring democracy to Iraq, I don't think most people would have agreed nor agree now that that's worth American lives. And if I were in Crawford, I'd be in sympathy with Cindy Sheehan.
I would probably sit outside of his house and you know, have a fine time protesting, but that would not accomplish much in terms of the policy.
No, it wouldn't.
Let me ask this, Bob Meadows. E.R. Shipp suggests that there's nothing for the president to gain, and that is the thought of it may, in fact, be a lose-lose situation for this president. But is there something to gain if, in fact, he grants a meeting, albeit brief, with this woman, sits her down, explains his position in the compassionate way that many say that he can, one-to-one, and then have her march out and say, "I have a new understanding"?
No.
Well, you know,
dreamland.
That may be dreamland, but you know, there's never anything wrong with PR. Right now, this woman has the floor. She's getting all the sympathy. You're right. Bush does have a very folksy way about him. He doesn't. Meeting with her might be a great PR move. He doesn't have to change his position by any standard, and I don't. Of course, he's not going to. He said yesterday at his ranch that pulling out would send a terrible message to the enemy. But sitting down and talking to her might actually stave off some of the criticism that he's getting by just letting her be out there right now, ignoring her.
But it's never
if I
be
hear
a
from you, you're suggesting
meeting.
There's nothing that he can say.
Right. There's not going to ever be a one-on-one meeting. It's going to be the one-on-one with the press involved. So he's already had press conferences. He's already given speeches. He's already done those kinds of things to give his position on the war. So he's not going to change anybody's thinking by having a sit down with this lady.
And the other thing is, does he meet with every widow?
Or mother, or brother, or sister.
No. Yeah, right.
Well, no, but if we, let's assume we're allowing her to be the collective face of those grieving, he can turn it around and suggest that he meets with her symbolically as the collective face of those who are grieving.
He's done
this
it in the White House already.
Choice.
He's done it at the White House already when he's met with various family members. He's done it at the hospitals.
Yeah, the president just can't do this.
All right.
Well, I don't see how the president can do this unless we're going to pull out of the war and the number of troops who have been losing their lives suddenly stops. This is going to be a slog we're in. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunately very difficult.
I'm sure the White House appreciates that thought from Nat Ervin and E.R. Shipp. So let's move our attention to what is becoming frighteningly too familiar in terms of the headlines and video that we see, and that is a young woman arrested teacher for having sex with a child, essentially. A former elementary school teacher pled no contest to having sex with a 13-year-old boy, a student of hers, and will get 9 months in jail. We've seen the pictures of this young woman, 28-year-old Pamela Rogers Turner is her name. We should also note that there are a number of these cases, including yet another one yesterday, that did not receive the same kind of attention that Ms. Rogers Turner received. This Elisa Kawasaki, 25, pled no contest to a felony count of unlawful sex with a minor on Thursday as well. She was accused of having sex with a male student who is now 17, but she faces 3 years in prison and will likely receive probation. The question here, folks, is as we take a look at female predators, as some will call them, society still does not see the female pedophile in the same way we do the male pedophile. Is this problematic? And if so, what should be done about it? I mean, let's be honest. There are men who still, with a wink and a nod, say, man, particularly if the woman is attractive, what a lucky kid.
I tell
you
what.
Asking that one to?
Whoever's brave enough to take it, E.R.
Well, I'm glad my kids are all grown up, I tell you that. The last one is 18. This is such a I've struggled with this, not just from the point, Ed, the point you make about the sentencing aspect of it, which is, you know, a reflection of the larger context of what happens when you suddenly see mothers do bad things. But I have not yet come to grips with the fact that we have women who are, or even men who are, that teachers and children in the elementary schools are having sex. I mean, I'm still having to come to grips with that. And then now to put it, and I think this is probably a reflection of why the justice system, we don't yet quite know what to do with women who are pedophiles. This is still very new to most of us. And, you know, now, of course, every day you hear something like the Mary Letourneau case coming out. I think it's just going to take a while for us to start to realize that this may be a growing problem, and we're going to have to come up with some public policy. I think I am reflective of the larger society on this. I don't know what to do with it.
Well, I don't know that it's that complicated. Teachers have a very important position in the lives of young children, in the lives of the communities. And whether they are male or female, they should be held accountable. Whether the law permits the kinds of sentences that we're seeing in these two cases you've mentioned, with probation added on. I think this woman in Tennessee has 8 years of probation facing her, something like that.
Yes, she does.
Well, then if that's what the law permits, that's fine. As I recall the prosecutor saying is that because this woman had no prior criminal record, it was unlikely they would get anything more than 3 years and possibly less than that in terms of prison time. So that's a specific kind of sentencing thing. I think that the broader issue should be whoever is preying upon children should be punished to the extent the law allows.
Bob, it just seems to me, though, and I'm going to go back to my first point, which I don't know that we spoke to, and we should note, ER, that she will have a supervised probation for 8 years. She's been suspended, unable to teach, and she'll have to register as a child sex offender as well as the judge implementing the idea that she will not be able to profit from this case, and she
by
will not
selling
be allowed
her book
to,
or movie
right,
rights.
Right, exactly. Conduct interviews during this time period. That being said, Bob, again, I go back to the idea that society seemingly does not see this with the same sense of urgency. Had this been a 28-year-old male and a 13-year-old girl, I contend, and if we'd seen the rash of male teachers doing the same thing that we've seen over the course of the last 2 years, as we have with female teachers, I think society would be more up in arms than we see right now.
Yeah, you're right, Ed. you're exactly right. Men are viewed as predators because that's typically what we are. So it would be more of a predation thing. And as you indicated, I mean, there have been movies made about, wow, you know, a young kid, young boy losing his virginity to the older woman. That's just society and just the way it is. I mean, you would definitely believe that if it was an older male having sex with a younger girl, that he coerced her into doing it, whereas with the boys, it's just like, well, you know, boys will be boys. You got to lose it sometime.
Yeah,
but we shouldn't tolerate it.
No, I don't think anyone.
Especially when it, especially when you're talking about teachers. Yeah, no, especially when you're talking about teachers. But I think Ed's point is just the larger context of how we look at between males and females, and I think you're right about that, Ed. But I'm saying that as we sort of come to grips with the role that women play in every other aspect, you sort of, you know, the equality of roles, you know, equal opportunity for sexual predators too, we'll have to adjust our attitudes. And I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah. Why?
Let me.
Oh, I don't know. I think it comes to the point that that Ed was trying to gently touch around the way that we see men and the way that we see women. It takes some adjustment. I'm having to adjust to seeing something I never saw when I was a kid.
As a woman, I must say I don't see that there's a difference in the way we should be holding teachers accountable. But I wanted to say something. As I grew up in the rural South in a very poor family, it was teachers who took me under wing, and my parents would actually let me go home with them for the weekends to Atlanta. And that's the kind of thing that would no longer occur because everybody's afraid of sexual misconduct or the appearance of impropriety. So I think kids are losing something that they might have gained in the past by having a close relationship with the teachers at that stage in their lives.
Turn our attention to another issue that I would suspect many people would be surprised at. The silence that we're seeing, and not that the uproar would be able to change anything, but that is the price of oil. The price of oil is now at $66 a barrel, and that is very, very high for those that don't necessarily know anything about the pricing of oil. But we are seeing the continuous climb and the thought that we may see something that hits most of us, and that is when you pull up to your gas pump, your local gas station, do not be surprised in the course of the next 6 months whether or not you see a three before that decimal.
have to say I'm glad that I take the subway. I'm not affected, but I feel for everybody who drives, absolutely. You know, being from Detroit, the Motor City, of course, you know, the hometown is suffering quite a bit, I'm certain. And all those people with SUVs can't, you know, now you can't drive, you can't take your car out, you can't go on driving vacations, things like that. You want, a month ago or so, people were up in arms because it had reached $53 a barrel. Now it's at 66. You have to wonder, when is this going to stop?
Well, when the United States
stop anytime soon.
Well, when the United States gets its good friends in Saudi Arabia to do something about the oil, I must say that I don't drive deliberately. So, but I do take public transportation and understand that that public transportation, whether you're talking a van from here to there, a bus from here to there, or a plane from here to there, is affected by this. But one thing to keep in mind. This is not going to be popular with drivers. The more expensive the gas, the less likely they will be to drive, and the better our environment will be.
Listen, I just would add this, that, and this won't make anybody feel any better either, ER. But uh-huh. Actually, when it comes to the price of gas adjusted for inflation, is actually cheaper now than it was in 1980. Now, I find that hard to believe, but those are the statistics. The second thing is, to make us feel even better, the price of home heating fuel or even natural gas in a couple of months, right now the projections are that it's going to either be 25% higher or a third higher. Yeah, so we're going to have to deal with this energy problem for a long time.
But one thing obviously to keep it remains little money compared to Europeans.
All right, well, I don't think anybody's taking any solace in any of that.
Yeah.
Particularly a guy like me who's going down. I'm paying $6 to stay off public transportation. I'm driving my car, but that's because I'm from Detroit. So
that's right.
ER, Nat, and Bob, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it.
Thanks.